Are you okay?
Don't care.
Great. Bring on the bubbly. Babe. Welcome back. The bitch is back. This is Are You Okay with Teeny Fucking Lewis, and this is season 3. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Teeny. My real name is actually Justine, but that's a long story. Refer to episode 1, season 1, if you want the lowdown on that one. And this is a podcast where we unpack why nobody is okay, including myself. I'm a Canadian performer based in Toronto, and welcome to the club if you are new here. Podsters, my longtime listeners, welcome back, okay? We've got lots of ground to cover. Let's address the elephant in the room, my voice, this rasp. Well, last week I took a quick little trip over to Ottawa to see my parents, and then I took a little quick jaunt to Montreal, my hometown, which I hadn't been to since the pandemic, and I was only there for 48 hours, which was probably a good thing considering my voice box and my liver, but I had a fucking blast. I reunited with two childhood best friends. I had a night out with my original like girl gang friend group from Montreal, and I just went balls to the walls with the eating, with the cheese, with the wine, with the talking, and with the screaming. So you're just gonna have to put up with it for this episode, but I think it's kind of sexy, don't you think? Little life update, okay? Well, I've been home for a little over a month now from my latest performing contract where I did a little 3-part Theater is Back series on the podcast to wrap up season 2. Wow, I'm like so out of breath. I forget how to do this. I'm back in the closet with my throat coat. No alcohol for me today, folks. And I'm just excited to kick off season 3 with all of you. So like I said, I went to Montreal. I'm back in Toronto. I'm grinding it out, multiple jobs. Something is in the works for me career-wise, but I'm not ready to share it just yet. And I'm just getting excited for the holiday season because that is the only good thing about winter and skiing. Yes, we get to experience all 4 seasons here in Canada. I'm grateful. But guess what, folks? 2 things can exist at once. Say that again. 2 things can exist at once. This is something that I heard from my castmate and co-star that I shared a dressing room with for a month, and my mind was fucking blown when she turned to me and said that. I don't know why it was the first time I've ever heard this term, but I had to share it with all of you because it's honestly been fueling my life these days. 2 things can exist at once. Okay, so let's just give an example of that, the pandemic. You can obviously be devastated that it has completely rerouted your life, lost your job, super boring, you have to stay inside, you can't do the things you once did, you know, it's just been a fucking shit show. But you can also express gratitude for the fact that it could be much worse, that you have access to a vaccine, that you're safe, that you didn't get sick, yada, yada, yada. So 2 things can exist at once. Because for me, I'm constantly invalidating like my feelings. I'm always like, it could always be worse. You know, be grateful. Start every day with gratitude. And those are all wonderful, true things. But at the end of the day, there is a dark side to everything. And that's a little something that I'm going to get into today with today's guest. I have Kelly G coming on the show, who is a transformational life coach. I wanted to revisit the topic of manifestation because manifestation is what made me kickstart this podcast in the first place back in February to celebrate my 30th birthday, to find my life's purpose, if you will. And we talked a lot about The Secret back then, and so I kind of wanted to level up that knowledge and use the idea of truth as my podcast theme this season. My truth, the truth of my guests, and then of course, the podster's truth, like finding the truth, letting our throat chakra do the talking and not limiting like our fucking beliefs. Listening to that little voice in our head, in our hearts, in our butts, wherever it fucking lives, and following your path. And so my guest and I today really go deep with that. We talk about shadow work. Kelly introduces the chair experiment, which is something that she learned in therapy. And if anyone is in therapy, you may have learned this as well. We talk about her approach as a life coach. We talk about her tips and tricks for manifesting. So it's not just the easy stuff. Like, we are going deep. It's an awesome, lengthy conversation that I'm just so excited to share with all of you. And that's how we're going to kick things off this season. Enjoy, Podsters. Okay, Podsters, I thought it was time that we revisit manifestation as a whole. So I have Kelly joining me today on the podcast. Welcome to the Are You Okay stage.
Thank you, Deanie. I'm so excited to be here and so excited to chat about all the things surrounding manifestation and signs and all those juicy nudges that the universe gives us. So yeah, let's get into it.
Gorgeous. So you are a transformational life coach, correct?
Mm-hmm, that's right.
Yeah. Based here in Toronto for now.
For now, wink, wink.
Yes. So you're in Toronto. And essentially, before we get into your story and all of the juicy nuggets that you're referring to, I kind of want to just give the Podsters, who are my listeners, a reminder of what manifestation means.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, manifestation has been, it sounds like this brand, I don't know, this like new trendy term that everyone's using. But the fact is, like, it has been around this forever. It's been around since the beginning of time. Like, it comes down to like the 12 universal laws, and one of them is like the law of attraction and law of oneness, and each of those 12 laws is referring to the art of manifestation. And essentially it is being in the energy and creating like the thought patterns. It's energy attracting energy, like energy. That's what manifestation is, which means that, and like, this is kind of a bummer for a few people to hear, because you've been essentially everything that you've ever experienced in your life, you've manifested everything.
Ooh, yeah. That's always a hard one to swallow. I even have trouble with that concept. Like, when I read The Secret, it's like, essentially, sometimes accidents or horrible things that have happened, I'm like, I have trouble kind of gauging that aspect of it.
For sure. I mean, everything has a shadow side, right? Including manifestation. And even though a lot of people look at it as, you know, creating affirmations and looking for signs and attracting money and attracting partners and all those things, there's also a shadow side to it. And the fact is, like, as much as love exists and joy and those like higher vibrational energies, so does shame, guilt, anger. And unfortunately, like, if you're in that energy, and this is just taking us as individuals, taking radical responsibility for our lives, which a lot of people just don't do.
What a concept.
I know. I know. It's crazy. I mean, like, we can get really, really deep into this. And this is like the shadow work. This is the shadow work, is understanding where you're potentially living in victimhood and being a victim, allowing life to happen to you. And consciously, I don't think any of us want to say that we're a victim. Like, who's gonna say that?
I mean, I've been all about owning my shit on this podcast, so I will happily, if I need to say that to help somebody else say it, I will say it. But I'm a little familiar with shadow work, Kelly, in the sense that it's like, mm-hmm. it's looking at the darkness, the guilt, the shame that you, I guess, quote unquote, manifested or have in your life, thanks to circumstances or things that have happened to you, right? And kind of looking at that side of yourself, owning it and challenging it. Is that the idea of shadow work or no?
Yeah. No, that's essentially it. Like, it is... Imagine like you're walking through the woods at night and you have a flashlight leading the way, but you just have that feeling like there's like a boogeyman behind you. Do you know that? You know what I mean? Like, you feel totally. Like something's chasing you. That boogeyman is like our shadow, is the parts of ourselves that we have either neglected or we're really scared of really looking at, or, it's like parts of us that we just don't want to see. Mm-hmm. But we sort of have this feeling that they're there. And doing shadow work is essentially how I like envision it, is like having the courage to take that flashlight and turn around and face it. Like, yeah, really like be with it and like shine a light on that monster. And the funny thing is that I might feel like a monster in our mind and body, but in reality, it's probably like a little mouse, but we're still kind of scared of that mouse, you know? And it might not be as scary as you think, but actually just having the courage to look at it is the biggest. Yeah. That's the biggest step. That's huge.
It's so funny because I started therapy. I committed to a year of therapy because I was like, you know what? I've never done it. And, you know, you look at my life and I've had a very privileged life. Like, what could possibly be wrong with me? You know, like what? Mm-hmm. I don't need therapy. So-and-so needs therapy. Like, it was very much that kind of dialogue for a long time. Mm-hmm. And it's so funny, Callie, now that I'm out of it and I've taken a break because I was doing a show and whatever, it's all making sense now. Like everything I talked about and like the idea of the golden child mentality that I kind of like created for myself and, you know, shit like that, yes. Right? Like everything dates back to your childhood and like those boogeymans and the shadow work. And it's like, I really just encourage people to, like you said, like turn around. Like I love that image. I'm like, shit, like, I'll fucking turn around and shine the flashlight on our bullshit, you know?
Yes. Fuck yeah. It's so true. Wait, can I swear?
Yes. This is a swearing podcast. Do not feel pressure, but I am 100% a potty mouth. So.
Okay. I can be too sometimes. I think there's no problem with that.
Yes. They say like people who swear are more intelligent, or it just like helps you release that feeling. Like, I don't give a fuck. Yeah. I'm like, great.
Yes. Okay. I'm with you, girl. Okay. Something that you just said though, like I kind of want to talk about because I think it's huge. So what I'm like been really invested in and like super interested in is identity work.
Okay.
And like the identities that we just take on almost unconsciously, sometimes subconsciously, and to like give you full, like to give you some
backstory,
like, backstory. I'm in the process of doing, I'm NLP certified, so neuro-linguistic programming certified. Okay. Basically like looks at the language of the brain and how to reposition stories and language in our mind to attract the things that we want and to support us in our healing. That's wow. Like what NLP, yeah, it's so sick. And I'm in a course right now that's one of the many courses.
I mean, life coaches are always students, right? Like you guys are nonstop. Truly.
Nonstop. I'm just a massive nerd for like all of this stuff. And this one that I'm doing right now is all based on subconscious reprogramming in regards to money.
Oh.
And yeah, it's so juicy. And like the wild part is that so every single element, and you do these like change patterns every single week for 10 weeks. And these change patterns are ways of connecting to your subconscious. And it typically like, and I won't go into all the details, but essentially I've come to this realization after weeks and weeks of these change patterns that I've just been holding on to certain identities that are actually more connected to my parents than anything. And that weren't actually ever mine to begin with.
Yeah. And makes perfect sense.
Yeah. And like, I think it's so interesting, like how we identify ourselves and what we relate ourselves to. And, oh my gosh, did you ever watch that? It wasn't a series. It was just like one show. Dan something's like, it was like this theater show, but it was based all on identity.
No.
Oh my God, what was it called? Oh my gosh, I'm going to have to look this up. But
okay, I can add it at the end.
Okay, well, yeah, we'll figure it out. And essentially had a bunch of strangers come into a theater, and he asked all of them to pick something that they could identify with. like anything. So for instance, like my name's Kelly and I am a like, and how I would identify myself as is as a coach, but someone might say like healer, or someone might say like a comic book enthusiast, and someone might say an athlete, and another person would say like entrepreneur and whatever. And so you pick whatever best suits you really in that moment.
Yeah.
And then the show just goes on to say like you're more than that like title that you've given yourself.
Yeah.
You know, and like we're all just like more than these labels, and where did we even get them to begin with? And like, are they actually true to our authentic self and aligned with like, with who we are as just as souls, as spirits, you know?
That have transitioned and changed too, right? Like it's not to make it about actors, because we tend to make it about ourselves, but especially during the pandemic when that kind of, you know, life force and career was completely dismantled and taken apart or whatever. And like theater was this, and a lot of people lost their jobs. Tens of thousands of people lost their jobs.
Me included. Yeah.
Yes. And
I lost my job.
Yeah. And your identity, right? Like whatever you... Yes. Well, I'm an actor, and like if I can't act, like who am I? Or I'm a doctor. I mean, doctors were very busy. That's a terrible comparison. But like even a teacher going from in-classroom learning to Zoom and being like, what the fuck? This is not what I signed up for. This isn't who I am. Mm-hmm. So I totally hear you. And another thing you said, Kelly, before we completely derail this episode, because we're obviously just like having a kiki, is that the money thing. You know, they say...
Yeah.
Poor people are born poor and rich people are born rich and all this. And you either see people recreate that pattern or they change it. It's like, why can't we just have a completely different outlook? Like, what are you kind of getting at when you're saying that? Is it like because you were raised poor and you were surrounded by poverty and your parents have a shitty relationship with money, so you're going to have a shitty relationship with money, or you're going to change it?
Yes. Okay. So, should we get into it? Cause this to me is so fascinating. So I have this theory, where anything you want, so if there's a scale from 0 to 10 and zero being the significance of like, I don't have any of it. Like it doesn't exist in that space. Okay. 5 being like, I have a little bit, but I don't have a ton. Like I'm not abundant in that area. Okay. I'm not thriving. I'm not super, super, super rich, let's say, if we're relating it to money. And then a 10 would obviously be like the max amount, like you're abundant and thriving, successful. You have all of it. You have access to all of it. Mm-hmm. So the theory is that people who are at a 7 to a 10 are typically going to have an easier time relating to money, relating to abundance, relating to opportunity, because they grew up in like in an environment, literally an environment, a space, an energetic environment where that was just known to be true. That money just was always there.
It flowed.
Like, yes, it was like an absolute almost. And sure, there might have been like some dips, but for the most part, money was always available. It was an absolute. And so growing up, those individuals who grew up in a 7 to 10 environment are going to be like, well, I just know money's available. I know I've like seen it. I've experienced it. Like it's always going to be there. It's just this learned behavior. Anyone from a 0 to a 4 is also most likely either going to stay where they are because that's what their learned behavior, or because they're already at the quote unquote bottom. And I'm doing that in quotations because
what money is bottom?
Everything. Right. Yeah, exactly. And like money does not signify happiness or anything like that. Nor should it, but those individuals who are, let's say like have the lowest amount, it's like they've already kind of hit that rock bottom. They're like, it can't be worse than this. So they are more risk averse. Like they're going to like really go for it because they have less to lose.
Totally.
They literally have less to lose. What do they have to lose? Right? Like they're experiencing like the, let's say like the emptiness of that energy. And so they're like, I might as well go for it. Might as well take a risk.
Well, that's it. And you see it all the time. You see the success stories. We read about them time and time again. So Kelly, like, what do you think it is that people are doing when they rewrite their narrative? Like, where do they even start?
Okay. Well, it's interesting you say that because where do you think the average person sits within that 0 to 10?
I think I live, like, if we're talking about me right now or where I was pre-pandemic, because that's a loaded question, but I think I'm probably like a 7. I feel like I'm on the higher end. Mm-hmm. I feel like I've never truly been without.
Okay, that's beautiful. That's amazing. And like, I think for the most part, most people are going to land between a 5 to a 7.
Okay.
Most people. And that's just like, not everyone, obviously, but it's like the average. It's like you grew up and maybe you had like, maybe your parents had a blue collar job and like you had a home, your needs were always taken care of, but you weren't like Jeff Bezos, you know, like a 10 is like Jeff Bezos. A 10 right. is like so affluent, like so wealthy. If you want it, you got it. Like that's a whole other level. Did right. I grow up that way? Absolutely not.
Like, right. I mean, yeah. Billionaires. Hello.
Hello. No, not me. And like, I honestly probably grew up more in like a 5 to a 6.
Okay.
And that's actually the hardest position to be in. And can right. you guess why? Can you guess okay. why?
Okay. I was thinking you were going to ask me this because there's no real like fire under your ass to change.
Yes.
Like the yes. tens know something that we don't and the zeros know what rock bottom is. So like change can happen.
Yes. Exactly.
Did I nail it? Is my therapy paying off?
You nailed it, girl. Yeah, it's like you also have like more to lose. Because like if you do take a big risk, you could end up at a 0. You could.
Totally.
It's a possibility. If, you know, and we'll get into like doing the change patterns and stuff, but like that is a possibility in your mind as well. It might not even be the truth, but it's like, it's an opportunity that your subconscious is petrified of. And so are you willing to take that risk? You might, you know, stay in your 9 to 5 for a little bit longer. You know, you might just kind of keep pushing things off because out of safety, literally out of safety, you yeah. might want to be a 10, but is it actually worth it even trying? Is it?
No, I have these conversations with my partner all the time, Kelly. It's like, especially this past year, I think we can all relate to feeling stagnant, right? And it's like,
totally.
Why do we feel like we can't attain that? It's right there. People have done it. We've seen it. So what is that like comfy middle range block?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So I actually did an exercise just yesterday and it was, so if we want to talk about our relationship to money.
I love it. I've been talking about it a lot because I think a really good friend of mine, she has a podcast. I can share it with you. We don't talk about it enough. Our parents' generation, you don't talk about money, politics, religion, sex, anything that's fucking fun to talk about. Let's be real. And real. Our generation is like completely rewriting the script with that. And like, I think it's really important to talk about money. So share the exercise with us, Kelly.
Oh, okay. Okay. So you set up, it's called the chair exercise. It's pretty well known in therapy and like, and essentially, and it sounds so like corny or like, this isn't going to do anything. And like, I've done it a few times. I've done it when I was in therapy years and years ago. And the reason why I love doing all this work and why I'm a coach to begin with is because when I was in my teens, in high school, I experienced a loss, which led to debilitating obsessive compulsive disorder, OCD, okay. which led to like just like overlying debilitating anxiety and depression. And I used a lot of these tools for like reprogramming tools to reprogram my brain out of OCD patterns and healed myself without medication, without anything.
Gorgeous.
Yeah. So that's like, that's like kind of the fire underneath me, which kind of led me to this space years and years and years later. And I remember I did this chair exercise back then, like years ago, but then doing it in relation to money specifically. And you can actually do this exercise with anything, like any other energy that you're working with. So if okay. it's like, if it's grief, if it's like love, if it's, yeah, money, if it's like abundance or success, like something
passion,
that you're
working. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. It could, literally, you could work, do this work with anything. And you set up two chairs facing each other, two empty chairs.
Okay.
And then a little bit off to the side, facing those two chairs, you have another chair, another empty chair. So it's like kind of like a triangle position. You can imagine that. And like anyone listening, you can do this at home and it's going to blow your mind. So
no, I'm tuned in. I'm like, let's go.
So in a chair, the two chairs facing each other, let's call one of them chair A and the other one chair B.
Okay.
In chair A is going to be the representation of you. That's like where you're going to sit in all the chairs, but this is like the representation of who you are. And it signifies like, it's like the me chair. Okay. Chair B, which is like the other chair, you know, facing you, that's going to represent whatever it is that you're working with. So in this case, we're going to talk about money. So the energy of money is going to sit in chair B. And then in chair C, the onlooker, the observer, that is just going to be an observer. That chair represents just an observer of this connection, this relationship that's going on.
The audience, so to speak.
The audience.
Amazing.
So you start the exercise in chair A and you just feel into like, what is it like facing money? What does it feel like facing that chair that represents money? And like immediately, even when I did this exercise, because I'm working on my own relationship with money, I like felt my body like kind of cave in, mm-hmm. my hands kind of I was like holding both my palms together. I was just kind of closed. And it was so unconscious. I was just like kind of closing up and I felt heavy and I'm like, whoa, what is this? And you just allow anything to be. So it's not how should your relationship and energy look like. It's just observe what's coming up.
Yeah. And energetically throughout your body, like physically, mentally, emotionally, like how are you reacting to facing money?
Yes, exactly. So whatever it is. So like you sit in that chair, you look at it and you feel it. Okay, you give it like, honestly, it doesn't take that long. You can sit there for 30 seconds, a minute. You'll feel something.
Yeah, no shit. Student loans, like, you know.
Exactly, like all of that. Just like face, like look at it. Then you stand up and you go and sit in money's chair. And then you face yourself. And you feel into, well, what's the energy of money? How does money feel? And it's going to be different for everyone. And when I did this exercise, I just immediately was like, I had this like overflow of abundance. It was like, all I could hear was, I am everywhere. I am everywhere. Mm. And I was like, wow, this is so cool. And it was almost this energy of like money wanting to throw itself at me, but I was blocking it. And you just like pay attention to, is there a connection? Do you have connection with yourself and money? Like, is there a connection there? Is there a relationship or is there not? You know? Okay. So then you stand up and then where do you walk to?
Chair C, the audience.
Chair C, the audience. And in the audience, in that observer's chair, you just look at this interaction, just like with non-bias towards any chair. So like you're not focused on, well, I wish it looked this way. You're just focused on like the facts of what you're seeing. Oh, interesting. Like this dynamic is really fascinating. Money is like really trying to like attach itself to you, but there's some type of block there. And it's just really it's just for you to look at it from a new perspective, kind of like zoom out a little bit.
Absolutely.
So then you stand up, and this is where it gets extra juicy.
Ooh.
You stand up and you sit back in your chair as the you, so chair A, and you ask yourself, who does this relationship, the relationship I currently have with money, who does this remind me of? Does it resemble any other relationships in my life? Does it remind me of anyone? Mm. And who do you think typically comes up?
Probably parents, you know, because they were the ones who taught you about money first. Maybe you, a partnership with like a, you know, a business partner that screwed you out of a deal or that kind of stuff. Like probably negative feelings with the, yeah, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, hitting it. You're on it. You're on it.
Okay.
So yeah, typically it's a parent or an authority figure, right? Depending on how people grew up, it could be a grandparent. And you, the first thing that comes into your mind, you just like have that, get that image of whoever that is for you. And then you set up a new chair, chair D.
Chair D.
Which typically represents daddy. but like you get another chair, a stool or whatever, and you place it beside money.
Okay.
And now you stand up and you sit in that stool as whoever that person is for you, whoever that authority figure, whoever it's reminding you of.
Okay.
And you sit in their chair and you feel what it's like to be in their energy in relation to money. And your only job in that chair is to pull any of that energy from that person out of money. Just pull it right out and like allow them to hold it themselves. And then you sit back in chair A as you, and you look at money and you go, hey, money, I have been confusing you with this person.
Mm-hmm.
I have been confusing our relationship with this person. And I want you to know that I'm not carrying that anymore. And you and I can have our own connection, our own relationship. And I would love to begin that now. I'm sorry I was confusing you.
Dung, dung, dung.
Dung, dung,
like
off.
It's so wild, Kelly, because I went to theater school, right, for like 5 years, and this is the kind of shit we did. Like, it's very similar. But you think about it, right? Theater school, psychology, like all that, right? Yes. So you're describing this exercise, and I'm like, okay, I can totally do this. But anyone who hasn't, you know, who isn't even maybe comfortable sitting with themselves alone, let's be real, there's so many people out there, like, can this be as powerful for them, like to just go forward and try this?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like what are you afraid of at the end of the day? Like, what are you afraid of?
Exactly. Oh, it's lame. Like why would I do that? It's like, because it could change your fucking life.
It could change your life. And like, that's the thing. Like, I think a lot of this work, whether it's like writing a gratitude journal or gratitude rampage or saying an affirmation and looking at the mirror or doing a breathing technique or meditating, whatever it is, I think there is like, I don't think there's as much stigma around it anymore, but I do feel like a lot of people steer away from doing any of that work because they're just like, well, what's it gonna do? And like that alone is just gonna perpetuate whatever patterns that you are experiencing. And like, these are just pattern interrupters. These are just tools, and you just find the tool that works for you. They're just tools that are going to support you in like breaking your patterns, you know?
Makes perfect sense to me. I'm obsessed. I'm like, I'm going to do it with money. I'm going to do it with heartbreak. I'm going to do it with my career. I'm going to be busy this afternoon, babe. So, okay.
That's so epic.
So, Kelly, not to completely change the topic on you, I just kind of want to know a little bit about you. Like, you talked about OCD and depression and stuff growing up, and like, what was, like, who are you, and what, why are you doing what you're doing, and like, how did you get there? Obviously Cliff Notes version, but like,
I'm
intrigued. We need to know.
Oh, who are we really anyways?
I know. Fucking, are we even here? I don't know. I'm not okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's always such a fun question to like get asked, because I mean, I'm here. Like the work that I do now, and I'll give you a little bit of background on what I was doing prior to this and kind of what led me here. But the work I'm doing now, I don't look at it as like a profession. It's truly like this calling. It's like this purpose. And sure, there are parts to it that feel like a career when it comes to like marketing and sales and all those things.
Instagram.
Like,
yeah.
Instagram. Yeah. But at the end of the day, it's, I do this out of service and out of love. And it's just something like I need to do. And I think like growing up, I always wanted to just help people. Little did I know I was a big people pleaser. And I think that was a part of it. It was like, if I help people, I'll please them more. They'll love me more. I'll get more approval. I'll be safer. And
I can't whatever. Relate at all, babe. keep going.
Right. But yeah, I think I grew up with like a really, like, I'm not saying this like in ego way, but I grew up with a really big heart that I like really did want to like make a positive impact on the world.
Yeah.
And like, you know, leave people in a better state than you find them, you know, like that sort of vibe. And I think like a lot of us, I sort of felt like I kind of got pushed into the conveyor belt of normalcy, into the conveyor belt of like, go to school, get a job, like take no risks, and get married, have a family, buy a house, like all those things. And I always had some resistance towards it, which I think a lot of people do. And like, I think the fact is like, that's one way. I don't think it's wrong. I actually don't think that's wrong. I think way to like live. It just like, it didn't align with me. And a matter of fact, like the fact is like, I'm a weirdo and like a nerd. And like, I love talking about the universe and angels and guides and seeing signs and like, you know, looking at life as though everything is magic.
This is the right space for you, sweetie. I have you. No, but seriously, right? Like I chose a super unconventional path too. So I feel you, babe. Like,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like anyone in like the creative space is arts, very much.
Even some entrepreneurs, yeah. Right? Like it's.
Yeah, totally. So
I get you. So you're like, okay, so then what? I'm like cutting you off. I'm so annoying.
No, that's okay. That's okay. I literally can like, we're both chatty people. I can just keep going.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, like I said, I ended up losing my grandpa, and I'm like the baby on both sides. And I spent so much time with my grandparents because mm-hmm. I only got to know them when they were like so much older, you know, compared to my cousins who got to experience them for years and years. And I just had a very special connection to my grandfather. And when he passed, I wasn't there. And this is like kind of what sparked a lot of things, but I was always a really intuitive kid, but this hit me.
Yeah.
When he passed, I wasn't there to see him or experience it, but I was like in a dance class and I felt it. And mm-hmm. I had this massive wave of anxiety hit me. And I was like, oh, he's gone. Like, I literally was like, it flooded my entire body. I didn't know. Like, no one called me to tell me that was true. I just had this feeling. And then my dad picked me up and he goes, your, you know, grandpa passed. And I was like, I like knew it. And I kind of got scared of that feeling.
For sure. You're like a child. You're like, what the fuck does this mean?
Yeah. I was 15 years old, I think. And I was just like, I was like, what? And like, why did I feel that? Like, I was so confused. And no one in my family like spoke to me about death, and it just like, it like losing someone just was so real. And I ended up getting really anxious because of it. And it instilled this fear within me of like losing like things and people that I love, and just the fear of loss.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't get to speak to anyone about what that death meant, what death means, what like loss means, what grieving means. You know, it's part of life. Like we're all gonna die. Like it's gonna happen.
Which is like, so fucking heavy. Can they start teaching us about that and some finances in school? Like,
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like this thing that we're all going to experience.
Yes.
And yet we're all afraid of it. So, I mean, not everyone. I shouldn't speak for everyone. My mom's like, I'm not afraid of dying. She's such a boss. But like, I'm terrified to lose her and then lose myself, question mark. So I totally feel you, babe. Like,
yeah, yeah. And it was just, I mean, for a 15-year-old, that's like really heavy to experience by yourself.
So heavy.
And if no one's talking to you, like, of course, and that was it. Like, I just like didn't have anyone talking to me about it. I was felt so alone in these feelings and they just kept brewing and brewing. And I ended up, I guess, like taking on OCD patterns and like counting things. And it honestly was debilitating. I was counting my steps. I was counting my bites of food. Like it was like,
wow,
scary, really scary. It was affecting my health. I like lost weight, gained weight. Like it was just like really awful. I was getting like injuries in my body. And it's funny now I look back and all those injuries metaphysically were actually related to that spiritual experience that I was having. And like, I won't go deep into that.
Oh, that's a whole other episode. But no, I hear you. Like internally, your body was like fighting back.
Yeah. Yeah. There was, it was actually like so, so intense, so wild. And I came across, so after a couple years of that going on, basically all through high school, which is a hard time for anyone to begin with. Come on. I was going into university and I actually like at prom, I had this photo taken and I looked at the photo like weeks later and I just didn't recognize who that person was. I literally looked at the photo. I was like, I don't know who she is. Like, who's that girl? Like, I don't connect with her. And it led to, you know, I was like 17 turning 18 and it really did lead to like this awakening. And I ended up, getting like deeply pursuing how to heal OCD, which led to a lot of like spiritual practices and neurolinguistic programming and how to rewire your brain and all these things, and successfully kind of like found, like landed in that healing space and healed myself from it. And like I was always kind of doing this work on the side because I needed to, like, I needed to do this for my own mental health, for my own body, for my own spirit. And meanwhile, I'm still on this conveyor belt of like, you know, get a job, like go to school, blah, 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 blah. And it just I kept hitting these like breaking points where like my body would literally react and be like, you can't do this anymore. Like this tech sales job that you're in is not what you need to be doing. Like, this is so against who you are as a human. Like, it just doesn't fit. Like, the shoe doesn't fit. And I would like, it would impact me in so many ways. Like, I would get like just weird sicknesses. And I wasn't ever like really sick to the point of going to the hospital, but just like weird stuff.
No, I get migraines and I'm always like, that's connected to something. Like, truly, I know it's often related to stress. I'm like, I just know it.
Yes. Like I got shingles. I literally had shingles.
Oh,
like,
wow. As like
a 17-year-old. Yeah. Like my body was wild. And it was just like, I would just get these things like out of the blue. And I'm like, where is this going? I'm like, this is so bizarre. So after years and years of that, basically, the past 4 or 5 years, I really kind of dove more into the spiritual end of things and, started coaching on the side, started running a lot of like workshops, going to goddess circles, like doing, creating like mindset and mental health workshops for the companies that I was working at, like at lunch. And when COVID hit, I lost my job, like a lot of people. And it was this like massive sigh of relief. I was like, I don't have to be doing this anymore if I don't want to. And it basically sparked me going full time into that work. And I was coaching at the time. I had a few clients and I've been doing it for years and was like super invested already and as like a side hustle, but mm-hmm. I like really dove into the work like March of 2020. And yeah, now here we are now, like almost like over a year and a half later.
And you have your entire brand and your company. And so congrats. Mm-hmm. Hello.
Thanks.
I'm obsessed with that journey. Thank you for sharing it with us. So if someone does decide to work with you, Kelly, like what does that look like? Like, where do you even start? Are you teaching people how to manifest? Are you, you know, people like me who've been manifesting for a long time, like, are you still going back to the basics of it? Like, what does that look like?
Yeah, I mean, I have a certain methodology that just that I do follow for everyone that I work with. But at the end of the day, everyone's so unique and has their own stories and their own like conditioning that they're coming with when they enter into this space. And I think it's like working one-on-one with a coach, and particularly like when I work one-on-one with someone, like it's a big fucking deal. It's a big deal. I'm like in your life. Like we're doing that deep work. We're doing the work that you probably have neglected for years. But like, if I look at it as like, as an archer. Mm-hmm. So if you want to shoot your arrow and hit that target, and like your target resembles the things that you're manifesting, the things that you want to experience.
Want your like, goals.
Yes. Your goals, your ambitions, money, success, freedom, love, whatever, a dream house. All of that is like that target. What most people do is they just go for it, right? They're just, I'm just going to shoot for it. But like we're working with, and most people who I work with are in their 20s to 30s. When they come to me, they have 20 to 30 years of programming in their body, in their soul, in their subconscious that is going to be like subconsciously steering the ship. So as much as you consciously want those things, there's still programming that exists that might say, you don't deserve it. You're not worthy of it. Who are you to have that? Is that even possible for you? And most of us are working with that, because if you wanted it and those things didn't exist, you probably already have it. Let's be honest.
Yeah. Okay.
So my work specifically as an archer, what do? You pull back. Right? You pull back and you like, before you let go of the arrow, you literally are going a bit back in time, understanding what's behind this, what's going to create the momentum moving forward, what thoughts, beliefs, patterns, behaviors, energy is going to propel that arrow forward. And that's what we focus on. So it's a lot of deep subconscious reprogramming. It's a lot of inner child healing, mm-hmm. inner child. And like, that also just means play. That just means magic. That means fun. Understanding like, kind of like what makes you tick, what motivates you, what makes up who you are. Is it true? And we do a lot of like that deep work, that deep identity work, belief work. And my goal with anyone is like, you leave. Like you shoot your arrow and you don't need me again, you know, like you get to now shoot arrows, like hitting all your targets for the rest of your life without the support of like your coach, because you have the tools in the somatic body that, and like, yeah, the tools in the somatic body that can now do it for yourself.
I'm like, yes. I mean, thank you for breaking that down, because I know that every life coach works differently, right? Mm-hmm. You're all trained differently, which is fascinating in itself. It's like a therapist, right? It's not always going to be the one for you. So I love totally. That though, because it's the shadow work. It's using all of that, accepting it. Like I think for me, to bring it back to me as an example for the listeners, it's like, because I had such a good life, like I have trouble accepting that like parts of it were bad. Do you know what I mean?
For sure.
And like knowing that like, those things that happen to me are contributing to how I approach my goals and stuff, right? So
mm-hmm.
I love that.
Yeah. And like something just to make note of is like those, I don't look at things as like right or wrong, bad or good. They just are. Mm-hmm. And so even if you're like, oh, but my childhood wasn't that bad. Well, like if you want more in life, let's like uncover what, just like, what you did experience, because it might have been amazing. And how do we work with that to amplify right. your experience, you know?
Totally. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Like, that makes perfect sense. So because we've talked about so many things I didn't even intend on talking about, but I love how we kind of like got to the truth of it, because I think truth is going to be the theme for this season. And like, we've leveled up the manifesting. We understand what manifesting is now. So let's like get even deeper into it. Mm-hmm. So Kelly, mm-hmm. I think we kind of have to wrap it up. But before we do, because yeah. you're probably going to have to come back at some point now, what are like your top three manifesting trips? Hello. Clearly I want to go on vacation. Tricks.
I'll come with you.
Go to things that you do or your clients do to get the ball rolling mm-hmm. that we can leave mm. everybody with.
Okay. I love this question so much. There's so many things.
Yeah. Okay. That's the thing. There's so many things.
I'm going to give you one easy one. Okay. Let's start with the easy one. Easiest thing you can do, and it's my favorite of all time, is a gratitude rampage.
Okay.
And it's like a gratitude journal. So like okay. writing down like three things that you're grateful for. However, it is with a twist. And like what you do is you write down what you're grateful for, but it's like things that you currently have. So like, and you can say like, thank you, source, universe, God, Gaia, whatever you believe in. If it's just like, thank you for like this chair that I'm sitting in. Thank you for my morning coffee. Thank you for my hair, for my eyesight, for my health. Thank you for, and like, you're just listing out things that you're already in the energetic vibration of. Okay.
Like, so like already one after have. The so other.
One after the other. And then once you're in that energy of like, okay, like you can feel your energy change a bit. When you feel that shift, you're going to start thanking the things that you're actually calling in. So thank you for my soul aligned clients. Thank you for the opportunity to podcast with like amazing, like be on a podcast with amazing podcasters, whatever it is. Like, thank you for that trip to Bali. Like, thank you for, and you're using the energy, you're using the momentum of that you have built up from what you're currently experiencing to create this momentum of gratitude for the things that you're calling in. And you're telling the universe, like, you already have it. You're already in the energetic vibration of having it, you know?
I just talked to a buddy of mine. He's like, I was acting like I had it. Like, it was mine already.
Exactly. So that's one thing you can do. Another really cool thing that you can do is, and I love this one too, because it's so fast, is think about something that you like really adore, that you just really love. What's something that you really love and adore? It could be a person, thing.
I just thought of my cat, you know?
Okay.
So he's think perfect.
So think about your cat. Like, really feel into that relationship, that in connection that you have with, is it a boy, girl?
Boy. Mushu.
Mushu. Okay, so get into the energy of your connection with Mushu and then use that energy to feel into the things that you want to experience. So you connect with it. Okay, so when you're there, literally, like if we're doing neurolinguistic programming here, connect with Mushu, connect, and then just like look up wherever your eyes go. Can you see him? Can you see Mushu? Can you see that connection? And now in that same vision, zoom in and now start to pull in like energy, pull like energetically pull in the things that you want to call into your life. Can you like see, you know, is money pouring into you? Is like new connections? Is like whatever it is, like pull it towards you, almost like that Star Wars, like the credits. How they like,
yes,
you know how they move in. Like, totally. Imagine like the Star Wars credits like coming towards you. Yeah.
I like to be physical too. Like, I'm like, let's go. I'm pulling it in.
Arms. That's another way. And then I like to go for energetic walks because I think we all know what manifestation is, and it's just being in the energy of what you want to attract. You got to be it before you see it. Say what you seek until you see what you said. Speak it into existence. Feel it before it even like shows up at your door, because then it's just no surprise. It's just like it's already an energetic vibrational match to you. Manifestation is just calling in that which you desire. To call it in, you have to be an energetic vibrational match. So if you're not already calling it in, if it's not currently showing up at your door, and sometimes it's a matter of patience, yes.
Oh, Lord, yes.
However, there's likely going to be, and that's the work I do, is some subconscious beliefs that are saying that you don't deserve it, because the number one thing that you need in manifestation is a sense of worthiness, is that sense of, I deserve this.
I know.
And that's typically the number one block. That's literally like the number one block, is people just don't feel like it's theirs to have.
I know. It's like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah. It was probably, you were probably anywhere from literally from birth to 3 to 6 years is like when it, 0 to 3 is when it's really imprinted. But 0 to 6, there was probably an experience where someone just like an authority figure, someone in your life, an experience that you had when you're a baby, a child, where you didn't feel like you were worthy of something. And it could have been a really, really small encounter. You cried out for love as a baby and no one picked you up. Like it runs fucking deep.
And yeah, you don't say, babe.
It runs deep.
And so, wow. Well, like, I'm just, yeah. I'm feeling inspired to do the work myself. I know that, like, a lot of people think this is some hippy dippy shit. Don't fucking care. It works. And I just don't care, babe. I'm so glad that you come on to kind of like spark that fire in me personally. And just the listeners as well, the podsters. So where can we find you? Where can people go lurk and know more? Tell us.
Lurk. I love that word. So yeah, you can follow me on Instagram. I think that's just the easiest. And then my website and everything's on there. But reach out if you have any questions. My handle's at the Kelly G, and it's G-double-E.
G-double-E. Perfect. I'll put it in the show notes. What is your sign, Kelly? What is your sign from the universe? I'm dying to know this. Mine is about butterfly. How cliche, but it's true. It is. So what's yours?
Okay. I love butterflies. And I think I literally just saw one in this room. No joke.
Really? Well,
it's around. Yeah. That's no, weird. Like, I'm not kidding. I like saw it like on the side of my eye. Anyways, I see them everywhere as well. Mine, they change. Mine is an owl, but I also work a lot with numerology and numbers speak to me every single day, all the time.
Yeah. I saw that on your website. That's a whole other topic. But for the podsters that don't have signs, how do you work? Do you get to pick your sign? Mm.
Yes. Okay. I love this question. I was like, I already got you. I got you, girl. I got you all. Okay. I actually had a client recently say like, Kelly, like, I don't know what my sign is. Like, what sign should I ask for? And I said, why don't you just ask the universe? And like, all you have to do, if you don't have a sign, if there's no number sequence that like, I'm looking now and I see 2121. So like, you just notice what you're seeing and then see, just ask the universe, like, is that my sign? Like, can you show me, universe, show me what my sign is? And then just let it do the work for you. Like, don't seek it out. Like, always ask, like, I always say, allow me not to miss it. Like, I can't miss this sign. If you're going to give me a sign, universe, like, I can't miss it. It needs to be super clear. And just let it present itself to you. And maybe you see like an angel and then you see another angel, like a literal like figurine of an angel or something.
Right. Like in a store, and then you see it on your phone.
Yeah. Like, you just, when you ask, you can't miss it, but just like, notice patterns, just start to notice patterns. For instance, numerology for me, like, has always been a thing. Like, I used to wake up at the same time every single day without an alarm. And I always thought that was so crazy.
You're a fucking weirdo. That's weird.
And like, I have a number sequence that I see 1, 2, 3 all the time, but it didn't start like, it just was like a pattern I kept seeing. And I'm like, what is that about? And the only thing you gotta take note of, like, what you're feeling and what energy you're kind of tapped into in the moment where you see your sign. That's all that matters. Just note it.
Gorgeous. And I'm just gonna leave us with one example. when I knew I wanted to work with you again, because we had connected a couple months ago on Instagram.
Yeah.
Don't hate me, but I had forgotten your, I think I knew your name was Kelly, but like I couldn't find you. I couldn't, when I was searching you in my followers, I'm like, what the fuck is her handle? I was like, universe, can she just like present herself on my newsfeed? And I'm not kidding. I scrolled and there you were. And I was like, done. Here's the DM. Am I okay? I'm not joking. That literally happened. So guys.
No, that's crazy.
Drink Love the that. Kool-Aid with us, will you?
Please. It's very delicious Kool-Aid. Here, thank have a glass.
Thank you so much for joining us, Kelly.
Thank you for having me. It was so much fun.
Thank you, Kelly. Thank you, Podsters, for tuning into another episode. For those of you that are interested in the video that Kelly was referencing that she couldn't quite put her finger on, it's called In and of Itself by Derek Delgadio, who's a magician that wows audiences with his mesmerizing tricks and autobiographical storytelling. Go ahead and Google it. It comes up right away. I know I'll be checking it out because this season is all about your truth. Podsters. Be sure to follow me on Instagram at Teeny Time. Please go ahead and follow, subscribe, rate, and review this show because honestly, it keeps the momentum going and helps me more than you know. I just launched my Christmas collection. No, I am not okay. You've got Are You Okay bulbs, Don't Care bulbs, and Great bulbs to add to your holiday tree. So you can ask yourself every fucking day of December, Are You Okay? Didn't think so.